Let's go to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Joining me from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, outstanding columnist Doug Lamorese. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Peter. How you doing, man?
I am doing great. So you had a column, and it was titled 0-6? The front office is not doing this to you, Browns fans. They're doing it for you. Can you explain that?
Can I explain it?
Yes. For those that maybe didn't read it.
Okay. It's begging for patience. It's asking people to do what you were just talking about, not evaluate this front office on the record. Understand that there is a plan, and they are still in the midst of that plan. And it was really partly in response to what I felt like a lot of media, all of a sudden, they got to 0-6, and people were like, that's it. Drawn a line in the sand, intolerable. Mm-hmm. They got blown out, got to blow it up. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, clearly, you know, the record on the field is not the issue here. Why are you 6 weeks into the season thinking you have to blow up the front office?
Yeah.
So it was a sort of pushing back on that idea that I felt like was filtering through a lot of other places after the loss last week.
Let's start here, Doug. What is it that this front office has done so far that you like?
Have a plan, tank, be willing to lose on the field, prioritize the future over the present. Basically, that outline, first of all, the idea of we are willing to put 2018 and 19 ahead of 2016 and 17. That is a different way of thinking in the NFL. People usually don't do that. So that line of thinking is the number one thing that I like. Then within that, I understand the trades back that they have made. Mm-hmm. I think people agree that Garrett was a good pick. I like the Njoku pick. A flyer on Kaiser that way I thought was fine. And I feel like, and people can debate this, but it's like when you look at Ogba and Sean Coleman and Joe Schobert, and some of these other mid-round, you know, second, third-round picks, I feel like they've been pretty decent. So, but mostly what I like is the plan, which to me stands out as different and unique and smart.
Talking with Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com, he joins on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. I get the sense, Doug, in talking to a lot of fans, that their beef with this front office is not about the players that are here and the players that they've brought here. It's about the players who aren't here. Do you think that's fair?
I think that is fair, and I made that point in the column that in the past, the beef was with the players that are here. The beef was, you pick Justin Gilbert, he's bad. You pick Barkevious Mingo, he's bad.
Yep.
You pick Johnny Manziel, that was a bad pick. And I think complaining about the players who are here is a very real thing. When your main gripe is the players who aren't here, I think that is part of the point. That if the worst thing you can say about this front office is not that the players that are here are bad, is that I wish they would have picked somebody else, that to me at the least is a different argument. But I do agree with you, yes.
But if you look at that, that's part of the equation, right, Doug? I mean, if Jimmy Haslam's evaluating this front office and he's evaluating Hugh Jackson, he's evaluating everything, including the guys that they passed up on and how they're doing. So how do you think Jimmy is processing that? No Carson Wentz, no Deshaun Watson, and they're having MVP-like seasons.
Well, I don't know. Here's how I wish he's processing it. I think it's easy to point at quarterback and say, that quarterback's good, you didn't pick him, you stink.
Okay.
And I think that is a simplistic evaluation of the situation. I get it. I think they need a quarterback as much as anybody. I've been pounding the drum for this franchise has not picked a quarterback high in the first round in longer than any team in the league. Every other team in the league has taken a more legitimate shot at getting a franchise quarterback than they have since Tim Couch. Everybody else has tried harder than the Browns. So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not believe in saying, you passed on Carson Wentz, he's good, you're a failure. And I really don't believe in saying, you passed on Deshaun Watson, he's good, you're a failure. When a lot of people in the league, some people were talking about, is Deshaun Watson worth a first-round pick at all?
Mm.
So the idea that seems to be coming around now is everybody knew Deshaun Watson was going to be awesome, the Browns are idiots, is false. That is a 2020 hindsight kind of view on Watson. I loved Watson.
Yeah.
I would have picked him.
Yeah, me too.
But let's not pretend that everybody in the NFL loved Watson. There were a lot of people who thought his profile did not fit an NFL franchise quarterback. So to sit here now and act like passing on Deshaun Watson is the stupidest thing in the history of the draft is not a true statement.
We're in year two now of this whole plan for Sashi Brown in the front office and then Hugh Jackson as head coach. And I'm with you. I don't think it's fair to evaluate wins and losses necessarily right now. And they even told you that at the beginning of the season. I think we had an informal agreement amongst each other here in Northeast Ohio that we would evaluate different things other than the win-loss record. So when do you think it's fair to start or for fans to start looking at that win-loss record?
Next year.
Yeah.
Next year. I think it's a three-year rebuild, but I think it's reasonable that you need to show some on-field progress in 2018. And if part of that is they will have a quarterback next year. And here's what I mean by that. They will either have a new quarterback because they will have drafted Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or somebody high in this draft, or they will have a Deshaun Kizer who is much better than he is right now because Deshaun Kizer will have proven that you don't need to go get somebody else, or they'll have a veteran. They are not going to come back in 2018 with middling, mistake-prone Deshaun Kizer, Cody Kessler, and Kevin Hogan. That's not going to happen. So I think people like to pretend like, oh, they pass on quarterbacks. They're idiots. That's not who they're going to have next year. They're going to solve it better one way or the other. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but I think if you're evaluating they didn't take Wentz, they didn't take Watson, you have to do that understanding that they're going to get a quarterback at some point. They're not going to get to the end of the rebuild and say, whoops, we forgot to get a quarterback. So that will be part of evaluating them in 2018 is they're going to have a quarterback who's not here right now, and that's either because he's not here right now or because he's going to be a very different Deshaun Kizer than what we've seen so far.
From your perspective, why do you think patience is so hard for this fan base? Is it because, in your opinion, everything that has happened since 1999 gets kind of lumped together?
Yes. I mean, fans should be frustrated, obviously. We don't have to say that.
Right.
The reason it's hard for fans to be patient is because they've been beaten down and they've suffered. They legitimately have suffered. We know this. Browns fans deserve better. The problem is when you evaluate this front office with some kind of idea that, yeah, well, the Browns passed on Derek Carr. And, well, okay, that wasn't this front office.
Right.
Yeah, well, the Browns have sucked since 1999.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't this front office. And I think sometimes the media feeds into that. We have to be rational.
Yep.
It's our job to be rational and help this fan base, guide the fan base through this to some degree, because they're fans and they get to be angry. Every fan of the Browns in Cleveland should be angry. We have to be able to explain to them not why it's a guarantee that it's going to work, but what is happening, and we have to do that in a way that doesn't hold Sashi Brown responsible for Trent Richardson. And I think sometimes it gets lost.
Talking with Doug Lamorese, he's on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Doug, columnist for Cleveland.com, has a column, 0-6, the front office is not doing this to you, fans. They're doing it for you. Really quick, you brought up Sam Darnold and you brought up Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson's another name that continues to come up, and Baker Mayfield comes up. Obviously, it's early on in this process, and we don't want to spin it all the way forward to April or May, but has any one of those quarterbacks really caught your attention yet, Doug?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Here's the thing, Chris, and we know this, right? Last year, people at this time were evaluating the 2017 quarterback draft class and saying it's not that good.
Right.
Wait till 2018.
Yes.
In the moment, this is not hindsight, this is what I said at the time, I liked last year's class all the way through. I liked Watson especially. I liked Mahomes. I liked Trubisky. I thought maybe Kizer.
Uh-huh.
Now, here we are, and already this magical 2018 draft class, I'm hearing now people are wondering about it.
Right.
Now they're wondering about Josh Allen. They're wondering about Sam Darnold. He might go back to school. They're wondering about Josh Rosen. So I liked last year's class a lot. I was not convinced about this coming class. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know who my guy is for 2018, but I'm going to assume that somebody will emerge. Carson Wentz had not emerged at this time of the season right. 2 years ago. Somebody will emerge. There will be somebody there. If the Browns are going to be near the top of the draft, there will be a quarterback worth taking, and I think there's a very good chance they take him right now today. I'm not sure who it is.
Your thoughts on Hugh Jackson as a head coach at this point, Doug?
To me, it's a completely separate evaluation. I say complete patience with the front office because the front office is not prioritizing wins right now.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson is prioritizing wins right now. I'm 100% with you. I'm not evaluating Hugh Jackson on the score on Sunday. I'm evaluating how he coaches this team. I think he's not calling great plays. I think he's not using the guys the best they can be used. I think benching DeShone Kizer was the move of a desperate man. I think this team has not been coached up. They are not good. They don't have to be 1-21. There are some coaches who would have them better than 1-21. They don't have to be 0-6 this year, right? I mean, they had some games they could have won. They could have played better. I know there are holes. I know the receivers especially are bad. I know the quarterback is young. They don't have to get out there and get blown off the field every week. I do not think he has coached this team the best it could be coached. So I am evaluating him differently. And while I think getting rid of the front office would be crazy, I'm not advocating for Hugh Jackson to be gone after this season. But I think you could make a reasonable case for it because to me it's separate from the front office.
I agree. And yet I get the sense that not that Hugh's bulletproof in this town, but he's not getting as much criticism as the front office guys. And I think it's because of a preconceived notion of these front office guys are math nerds and these front office guys don't know much about football. And Hugh Jackson was the number one pick of a lot of other teams and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like if we're just going back on what we thought at the time and not actually evaluating what has happened since, like that's the wrong way to do it. And at this point, I would say that Hugh Jackson has looked more ill-equipped. Like you, Doug, he has looked more ill-equipped to hold down the job that he currently has than the front office.
I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that. And the other thing I wonder about, and there seems to be something to it, Mary Kay Cabot has done some very good, you know, reporting on it.
Yep.
It seems like there may be a disconnect between the front office and the head coach. So if Jimmy Haslam would get to the point of saying this setup is not working, somebody has to go. If you're at that point, you have to keep the front office and change the coach. You cannot think the solution here is get rid of the front office and keep the coach. So that is the thing that is in my head if a choice has to be made. And the other thing is every time I read a report, I read anonymous reports about NFL people criticizing the front office or the word in the league is this, I don't care because I don't expect the NFL to want Sashi Brown and the Browns to succeed. I don't expect the NFL to think they're going to succeed, but I would not fire them just because the rest of the league doesn't think it's going to work. Because guess what? The rest of the league is wrong a lot.
Yep.
And anytime you're different, people are going to take shots at you. And for a franchise that has seen failure after failure, different is worth the risk. And I'm telling you, different is not failing right now. Different is still in the middle of the process, and we cannot have a final judgment on this right now.
Doug, great stuff, buddy. I appreciate you joining me, as always.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'll talk to you later, man.
Yep, there's Doug LaMaurice, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer joining on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Great stuff from him.